Denver, Colorado. We have just finished dinner at the Wainios. Allison, Todd's wife, is upstairs helping their son, Addison, with his homework. Todd and I are downstairs in the kitchen, doing the dishes.
It was kind of like stepping back in time. The new army, I mean. It couldn't have been any more different from the one I'd fought and almost died with at Yonkers. We weren't mechanized anymore. No tanks, no arty, no tread jobs at all, not even the Bradleys. Those were still in reserve, being modified for when we'd have to take back the cities. No, the only wheeled vehicles we had, the Humvees and a few ASVs, were used to carry ammo and stuff. We hoofed it all the way, marching in column like you see in Civil War paintings. There was a lot of references to the blue versus the gray, mainly because of Zach's skin color and the shade of our new BDUs. They didn't bother with camo schemes anymore. In any case, what was the point? And I guess navy blue was the cheapest dye they had back then. The BDU itself looked more like a SWAT team's coverall. It was light and comfortable and interwoven with Kevlar. I think it was Kevlar, bite-proof threads. It had the option of gloves and a hood that would cover your whole face. Later, in urban hand-to-hand, that option saved a lot of lives. Everything had a kind of retro feel about it. Our Lobos looked like something out of, I don't know, Lord of the Rings. Standard orders were to use it only when necessary, but trust me, we made it necessary a lot. It just felt good, you know, swinging that solid hunk of steel. It made it personal, empowering. You could feel the skull split, a real rush, like you were taking back your life, you know? Not that I minded pulling the trigger. Our primary weapon was the SIR, standard infantry rifle. The wood furniture made it look like a World War II gun. I guess composite materials were too hard to mass produce. No matter what you did to this baby, it just wouldn't let you down. Only bells and whistles it had was a conversion kit of extra parts, furniture, and additional barrels of different lengths. You could go long-range sniper, mid-range rifle, or close combat carbine all in the same hour and without reaching farther than your ruck. It also had a spike, this little flip-out job about 8 inches long that you could use in a pinch if your Lobo wasn't handy. We used to joke, careful, you'll poke somebody's eye out, which, of course, we did plenty. The SIR made a pretty good close combat weapon, even without the spike, and when you add all the other things that made it so awesome, you could see why we always referred to it respectfully as SIR. Our staple ammo was the NATO 5.56 Cherry Pie. Pie stands for Pyrotechnically Initiated Explosive. Outstanding design. It would shatter on entry into Zach's skull, and fragments would fry its brain. No risk of spreading infected gray matter, and no need for wasteful bonfires. On BS duty, you didn't even have to decap before you buried them. Just dig the trench and roll the whole body in. Yeah, it was a new army, as much the people as anything else. Recruitment had changed, and being a grunt meant something very different now. You still had the old requirements, physical stamina, mental competence, the motivation and discipline to master difficult challenges in extreme conditions. But all that was hamster farts if you couldn't hack long-term Z-Shock. I saw a lot of good friends just lose it under the strain. Some of them collapsed, some turned their weapons on themselves, some on their buddies. It didn't have anything to do with being brave or anything like that. I once read this British SAS survival guide that talked about all the warrior personality, how your family's supposed to be emotionally and financially stable, and how you're not even supposed to be attracted to girls when you're real young. Survival guides.
Wainio jerks his hand in a masturbatory movement.
But the new faces, they could have been from anywhere. Your neighbor, your aunt, that geeky substitute teacher, or that fat, lazy slob at the DMV. From former insurance salesman to a guy I'm damn sure was Michael's type, although I never got him to admit it. I guess it all made sense. Anyone who couldn't roll wouldn't have made it this far in the first place. Everyone was already a veteran in some sense. My battle buddy, Sister Montoya, 52 years old, she'd been a nun, still was, I guess. 5'3 and a buck even, she'd protected her whole Sunday school class for 9 days with nothing but a 6-foot iron candlestick. I don't know how she managed to hump that ruck, but she did, without complaining, from our assembly area in Needles all the way to our contact site just outside of Hope, New Mexico.